got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real, but please listen and hear what I say.
I just see Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I'm just seeing Jesus. Asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair. My Lord is not there.
He's a child. It is I am here.
I just see.
Play that song quite often. I've just seen Jesus. And sometimes my heart really breaks because we have thousands of Christians all over the world who haven't really seen him. So many, when they think of him, they still think of the man of Galilee who walked the shores of Galilee and healed the sick and raised the dead. And they worship they know not what. They worship him as a soon coming king, not realizing that he never went anywhere. See, he said to his disciples, he said, it's so important for me to go away, because when I go away, I'll send the Comforter. And he will guide you and lead you into all truth. And you know the funny thing about truth? It's really not funny. But the thing about truth, real truth, spiritual truth, is that it's foolishness to man. It's absolute foolishness. When you think of the multitudes of people who go to church and worship this man of Galilee, and don't misunderstand me, I worship that man, that Christ. No longer the man of Galilee, but he is the resurrected, transcendent Son of God, who is not only in the heavens ruling, but he's in you and me. But yet the real truth of spirituality is foolishness to most. Even those who dearly love the Lord and who can't wait to go to church and worship him, the true gospel is foolishness to their ears. I'm reminded of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Amen. The natural man, that word natural man, in the Greek word is psychikos, and it means the soulish man. The man who lives by his reasoning. The man who lives by his understanding. The man who lives by the literal interpretation of God's word. The man who reads the Bible and says, yes, it is the word of God. But yet spiritual truth is still foolishness to his ears. For the natural man, Paul says, this is in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, and that word is pneumaticos, and it means non-physical or divinely understood. In other words, you cannot understand spiritual truth with the natural mind. It's impossible. If we could understand spiritual truths, if we could understand in the simple teachings of Jesus, if we could really understand, the world would be transformed. Because we wouldn't just be worshiping a man who is someday a soon coming king, but he would be the expression of all that we are. And that's what the hearts are crying for today. People are crying for that divine expression to come forth within their being. Job says in 32:8, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. You see, there is no way that we can understand spiritual truths again with the natural mind. Even today, after 2,000 years of the gospel being preached in even the far corners of the earth, people are still going to school trying to learn how to be spiritual. They're going to school because, see, we're taught that if you know it, then you're okay. So we go to Bible school, as William Law said probably 200 or 300 years ago. He said, man goes to Bible school thinking he can learn how to put off Adam and put on Christ. Yet when you hear this spiritual truth of how to do that, to you it'll be foolishness if you don't understand spiritual truths. If the Lord hasn't, which thank God in these days, the Lord has opened the ears of multitudes across the earth to begin to understand the simple truths that Jesus taught. And he didn't just teach as a teacher. I often say that when Jesus said things, he wasn't just teaching a message. He was saying, look, he told the Pharisees, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the kingdom of heaven is like this. That if you live in the kingdom of God, if you discover that in the deep recesses of your being, the reality of your being, the source of your being is spirit, then you will be able to fulfill all of the laws. And this law is not a law written outside of you. This is a law written on the tables of your heart. You see, it's impossible for me to be anything other than what I am. And what I am and what you are, perhaps deeply hidden within your consciousness, but nevertheless it's there. The true source of every being is God. And see, we can only understand spiritual things as the Spirit of the Lord gives us inspiration, not through our minds, but through our spirit. There is a spirit in man, and the Almighty gives that spirit inspiration. So it's not a matter of learning. And I'm sure you can see that the reason we have such a mess all over the world of people who claim to worship the same God and claim to follow the teachings of the Bible and claim to live as Jesus, Lord of their lives, yet they can't even worship together. They can't fellowship with you. Today in the kingdom circles, they can't fellowship with you if they think you're New Age. All of this crazy stuff they say that's coming out. Energy teaching and all of this stuff is deception. I'll tell you where deception is. Deception is in the mind. Deception is the mind who can say, I have the truth. I have a pure message. But yours is mixed. The greatest deception in the world is a deception of the religious mind who looks down on someone else because they believe a New Age doctrine or a Buddhist concept or a Hindu spiritual teacher. That's the greatest deception in the world. Because you see, there's only one source of truth. And God speaks to you in whatever culture or whatever language or whatever circumstance you've been born into or raised up in, God will speak to you. And that's why we have different spiritual leaders and different religions and different... It's not that they're all false. I think Christianity is one of the falsest religions on the earth. Because they have an image of God that they worship that is no different than a Buddhist image that a Buddhist worships. All the religions of the world are different because men have looked at spiritual teachers, spiritual writings, and they have interpreted them with the natural mind. Yet the true spiritual teachings is foolishness to them. You see, the truth of spirituality is that you need nothing. You lack nothing. You need ask God for nothing. You need to look for nothing. You need to seek for nothing. Because the source of all there is embedded within you. Everything. One of the greatest examples of that. I can't imagine how people can't take the simple words that Jesus taught. Well, again, it's because we haven't taught. We don't know how to be spiritual. We don't know how to understand spiritual truths. But Jesus said this. He said, "I am the vine, and you are the branch." Wonder why Judy picked that song today. I am the vine, and you are the branch. Well, in the religious circles today, there's great controversy goes on because, you know, they say, well, there's a people today who are running around saying, "I am God." Now, that's not what I'm talking about. Because if you go around saying you are God, chances are you probably aren't. But see, I want to say what Jesus said. He didn't say you are God, but what he did say was that I am the vine and you are the branch. And if you'll abide in me, you can have anything you want. Well, what does it mean to abide? You know what it means to abide? Do you know what he meant when he said abide? It means to do absolutely nothing. Don't seek for anything. Do you think a peach on a tree has to be concerned about the fruit? A peach tree cannot produce anything but a peach. And it doesn't have to study, it doesn't have to learn, it just is what it is because it's a peach. It has the life of the fruit of the peach in it. And Jesus used that great illustration, "I am the vine and you are the branch." Where does the branch get its substance from? From the vine. Where does the vine get the substance from? From the earth. Well, see, God planted many years ago, he planted a seed in man. And everything that you need, all the resources, everything that you possibly desire is implanted within that seed. There's nothing you have to do. Oh, God, open our eyes. There's nothing we have to seek for. Jesus said, "Take no thought." Well, I found out recently, too, that he didn't really mean take no thought. What he really says there is, don't be anxious. Because we all take thought. Carol and I have had a pretty rough year this year. And so I can't say I haven't taken thought. I've looked at the circumstances, but you know what? Not one time have we ever become anxious. Because not one time has God ever failed to meet what we need. You can look circumstances in the face without being anxious. Jesus said, "Consider the lilies, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." You see, I am the vine, you are the branch. How in the world do we experience that? By doing nothing. By seeking nothing. By asking for nothing. You see how foolish that sounds? Because you've been taught all your life to read your Bible, to pray, to seek God with all your heart. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but it's not what Jesus taught. He taught that you already have everything that you'll ever need. In the vine is all the substance that the branch needs to survive. And all he needs to do, all that branch needs to do is abide. So I discovered, and I've been saying this for years, and thank God, you know, there's people all over the earth who are catching this vision of doing nothing but sitting in the quiet and realizing God is the substance of all things. We know the scripture so clearly revealed to us that we are God's expression on this earth. Boy, don't we need the reality of that. But see, we go to church and they teach us how to be an expression. But the teaching comes from the wrong source. The teaching comes from the knowledge of good and evil. It says here, the natural man receives not the spirit of their existence, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. See, spiritual things are discerned by the Spirit. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? There's nowhere in Scripture that you'll find any place where you are told to seek the mind of Christ, or given the impression that it is something that you can learn or come into, or it'll someday be yours. But we have the mind of Christ. That's why Paul said later on, he said, let this mind be in you. How can we let the mind of Christ be in us? We can begin to stop everything except begin to meditate, begin to think on those things that Jesus taught. And keep our hearts open for the inspiration of the Almighty. I'll tell you, it's unbelievable to face death and not be fearful. It's unbelievable. See, the natural man, it's foolishness to him to have a need that there's no way humanly possible that you can fulfill it, yet you don't need to pray about it. You don't need to ask God for it. Because see, this is where faith comes in. Faith knows that the substance of God is my substance. Therefore, I cannot have a need that God does not know about. I cannot have a need that God will not supply. But see, to really know that is to have the source that you're seeking out here somewhere that you can't quite reach, whether it's finances or whether it's health or whether everything, as you learn to quiet this mind and set in the quiet, then you begin to realize that the source of all that is comes from within. No more outward seeking. Can you imagine, and I know this message can be so misunderstood, but can you imagine never having to ask God again for anything? Can you imagine that? Because you see, God, today there's a people on the earth who is maturing in the things of God. And I know the scriptures say that you have not because you ask not. Well, that's the condition that most Christians are in. They don't have it. They don't know how to get it. So the only thing they knew is to ask God. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But see, through this, through contemplative meditation or through the quietness, the stillness of the mind, to set and let God give you inspiration from the Spirit to your spirit, you will begin to realize the simplicity of Jesus' teaching. Take no thought. Don't be anxious for anything. And then you live in a state of total peace and relaxation. I'll read that to you, Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Now see, by taking thought, what can you possibly do by thinking about it? Solve any kind of a problem you have. In fact, the more you think about it, the worse it'll get. If you go to the doctor and he says you have cancer, the more you think about it, the worse it'll become. And why do you take thought for clothing or raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. You know what a Gentile is? A Gentile is an unbeliever. You see, an unbeliever is one who has to be worried about tomorrow. See, it's not talking about being born again or saved or regenerate. No, it's talking about, do you believe God or don't you believe God? For he that takes thought and is anxious about tomorrow, what he shall eat, what he shall drink, what he shall put on, how am I ever going to do this, or how am I ever going to get the pastor to recognize me, how am I ever going to get my music ministry going, how am I ever going to... See, that kind of stuff never stops. It never stops. But you see, when because we're coming into some substance in our life, we no longer have to ask those things about what are we going to eat or what are we going to put on. You know, it really doesn't matter. Carol and I have talked this year about possibly selling our home. You know what? We're willing to do that. Why? Well, our contentment certainly isn't in a house. Our contentment isn't in what Jesus said, the abundance of our possessions. The only peace there is, true lasting peace, is walking in the will of God. And you can be walking in the will of God and circumstances can't touch you. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. You know, the thing about it is that when you experience this, you know how you felt when you first met the Lord, how you wanted so desperately, you wanted everybody to come to Him. You wanted your parents, you wanted your friends, and most of them probably rejected you or, you know, just thought you were going through another fad. With me, it was churches. I went from church to church, and so many times I'd tell my mom, I found it. I found it. I don't even look for it anymore. Because I finally found out that God is not interested in a building made with hands. God is really not even interested in a bunch of people getting together for a nice social time. God is building a habitation. Yes. 2,000 years and we're just beginning to believe what he said. I love what Paul said to the Ephesians. He said that the church, this is amplified version, the church is the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere with himself. You see, that's the truth of your being and my being. God is not filling this mind. He's filling the spiritual being. I should say it this way. The spiritual being that we are, the temple of the living God, the light and the glory and the manifestation and the expression of all that he is rising from the depths of our being. And this is what Jesus taught. And this is why you could say things like, take no thought. I mean, that's crazy. You tell somebody that was just diagnosed with cancer or somebody that's losing their home to take no thought? I mean, that's foolishness. Yet if you can really live there, it really doesn't matter what happens. It's not to say you won't lose your home. It's not to say we might not sell our home someday, but who cares? Because the source of our happiness doesn't come anywhere from out here, but it comes from within. Yes. The contentment, the peace, the love. You know, I just read where it says the spiritual man judges all things. That word judgment there is really the word, I believe, it's discernment. And we sure need a lot of discernment today. But where does discernment come from? Because there's people out there today saying that if you have any discernment, you won't listen to Gary Sigler because he's leading you into whatever, deception. And that's why it's so important for us to just quiet. How can we know the truth? How can we know the truth? You're the greatest minds in the world, even the greatest what we call spiritual men, they really aren't, but when the greatest minds, the greatest spiritual leaders can't even agree. Why do we think we know the truth? How can we possibly know the truth? I've never even been to Bible school. There's only one way. Jesus learned that. You know what he said? I am the truth. I am the life. And see, we are waking up to that reality of his substance within us. And he said it himself. He said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Yet, if we would stand up today in an assembly and say, I'm the light of the world, they'd say, boy, that guy is sure proud. Who does he think he is? But let me tell you something. It is true humility to say, and to know, I am the light of the world. Because that's when you can fall at his feet and know that he is unveiling you to the reality of his riches within you. All that he taught so many years ago in Galilee is now becoming ours by experience. I'll tell you what, I'm not waiting for a soon coming king. I'm not waiting for somebody to build a temple in Jerusalem so that Jesus can come back. He's building that temple within humanity.
Hallelujah.
He established His kingdom on the day of Pentecost. His second coming was only about 40 days after His death and resurrection. And from that moment on, He has been hidden sometimes, most of the time, in the hearts of His people who are still waiting for Him to come. I'll tell you, folks, you all know this. This is what we need to share with the world. Don't wait. If you're waiting for a soon coming king, it means He's not king today. I often tell people, you know, religion tells you, you better make Jesus the Lord of your life. You don't have to. He is the Lord of your life. You may not know it, but He's directing your steps today.
Thank you, Lord.
He is Lord. So, you know, I gave up that hope many years ago of making Him Lord, but when I discovered that He was Lord, what a wonderful relief. Because then I know that no matter what I go through, no matter what I experience, He's leading me. He's directing my steps. We just went through a major change. We stopped publishing about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We will no longer publish printed material. Now, we've been doing this for, well, at least since 1995, publishing thousands of books and sending them all over the world. See, change is not always easy. But it is when you know when you know that God is directing your steps. Because God is just going to free up some of our time and some of our resources to be able to do some other things. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Change is absolutely wonderful. No matter what change is, if you know that God is directing your steps, it's absolutely wonderful. What makes the difference? What matters what we do when we're in the kingdom? So, when you sit in the quiet, and you can quiet the mind, you empty out everything that would want to seek. You empty out everything that would want to ask. You stop all the reasonings and imaginations. And you just say, Father, oh God, how I need the inspiration of the Almighty. Father, there is no way that I could know truth by study. There's no way that I could get You to give me anything by seeking or fasting or praying. Lord, that I just empty myself of everything and sit in Your presence and listen for the inspiration of the Almighty. And then you become an observer and you begin to see all around you. First of all, you change. Your anxiety stops. Your seeking stops. You realize that, as Jesus said, your Father knows what you need. There's also an Old Testament scripture that says, before they ask, I will answer. Because, see, the spiritual man knows that there's no need to ask because everything that God is just comes to you. And that's what Jesus meant when He said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will just be added. Well, if they're added to you, why seek them? The only reason you seek anything outside of yourself is because you don't realize that everything that you need is within. That seed, remember that seed, I am the vine. And if you can get this picture for humanity, this will change your concept. This will take out all your criticism. It'll take out the pointing of the finger. If you see that Jesus is the vine and every man is a branch. So you begin to see every man not as he is, well, not as what he's doing, but as who he is. And this is how the spiritual man judges all things. I know you heard me say this many times, but you do not judge according to what someone is doing because you know who they are. And so you see them as they are. You see them connected to the vine. You see that the same substance of his life that is flowing through you is in each and every man and woman on this earth. And that as we learn to, again, just be quiet and wait for the inspiration of the Almighty to come forth within us, the only way we'll ever see in manifestation the kingdom come in our lives and then the lives of those around us. You don't have to preach to anyone anymore. I don't know where the scripture is that says that Gentiles will come. How does that say that, Linda? You remember? The Gentiles shall come to the to your arising, or
Isaiah.
You find that you're a magnet. You don't have to go out and find anybody. They find you. Because you don't condemn. You don't criticize. You just love them because you realize that the source that is in you is in them. Well, let's have some sharing. As most of you know, we do have some new ones here today, but this is not a place where we just come and listen to somebody speak, but all of us have the opportunity to share, to sing a song, to bring a song, or whatever. So let's take some time and just fellowship together. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music. Yes, I'll take